Monday, December 7, 2015, Dakota County Board of Corrections at 3 p.m., Dakota County Board of Commissioners at 3:02 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Tony?
Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
I make a motion to excuse Bill Rohde today.
I'll second it.
Motion to excuse Commissioner Rohde from the meeting. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. A current copy of the meeting act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of various minutes from November 9, 2015.
So moved.
Second.
Move to approve the minutes for the last meeting, November 9. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried. New business. Item A, Chair Plan. Bill report. Everybody got a copy of it. Chris?
I put a copy on everybody's.
Thank you.
A couple more if you need some.
Numbers are down a little bit, huh?
I'm surprised. They probably shouldn't be. How we get these numbers for inmates, it's every expense in the jail per month goes per inmate. So it's from moving snow or whatever we pay for in there, from cable to whatever goes on this cost per inmate. So we've been doing some stuff in there with computers and the move. So it should actually be up a little higher, and I was surprised it was down as low as it was. I know Chairman Rohde asked me to put last year's fiscal and compare them from last year's fiscal, and I just got that done about 20 minutes ago. And I didn't even get a chance to write it on your guys' reports, but last year, 43% at this time last year, 43% of the budget was spent. This year, we're at 37% of the budget. Overtime, I didn't even get to write that down. But we're 4% under on overtime, and we should be really cutting back on that drastically here when I get the last three deputies in there. So actually, yeah, it's going good. I think this number would have been up if I had paid a bill to Souter, which I didn't. I would have raised this, so it would have been up a little higher if that would have happened. But I think I've got that fixed.
The bill?
Yeah. It'll be considerably smaller. Haven't had any real issues as far as inmate costs. So outside of the normal, there's a couple of them in there that's got some mental issues that are probably costing us some money here. We're trying to hold off. I haven't taken anybody to D&E, so that helps with the safe holds and taking them down to the state. That saves us quite a bit of money. Pretty much the jail staff's been handling everybody, so that's been good also. Aside from what's on here, I'm hoping to sit with the feds and try to get a few more Fed inmates in there, and I haven't got a chance to do that yet. I have talked to him, but we haven't got a way to visit about it. I know we've swapped a few federal inmates around, but everything's on the paper here, gentlemen. If you got any questions, let me know.
So the reason you haven't get with the feds because like a dime, or what is it? I mean,
well, it's just he's new. He just got appointed. And, sat down and talked to him. I'll do Fed transports and get over there. I just haven't. Usually I'm running.
That's fine.
I'll invite him out to lunch here, and we'll sit down and we'll see if we can't get a few more of these federal guys in here. We've got big overtime grant work coming up this month, so I imagine these numbers will go up a little bit. Kim will get a little busier.
Any questions? Not
all.
I don't think I have any questions.
No, that's good.
We finally got Bly to come in to bid the shower stalls. I don't know if you guys probably haven't seen Jill Standard's report yet. Have you got that yet?
I haven't seen anything.
That should be coming in here pretty good. Usually it's in December that comes in, isn't it? I don't know when you usually get it.
Is that December?
December.
So he was holding off on that a little bit, but he is going to write in there about shower stalls. And Bly came in today. I seen him, and he's going to give us a bid. I called a couple other guys, and no one showed up yet. No, I guess nobody wants to work in the jail, I imagine. Just don't get a lot of people.
When they go into work in that, do you got to move everybody out of the pod into the next pod?
Try to.
Right.
Either that or lock them down and say. Just depends on how much time they're going to spend in there.
Right.
There's just a shower per pod, the upper tier, so I don't really think it'll take a long time.
What do you think? What are they going to do to them?
Well, my idea was just to take the pan out and just make concrete. And that's what I talked to Chris at Jail Standards about. He said, well, then there's a trip hazard. And I said, well, it's worse because now it's just one guy tripping with that there. But now we've got water running down onto the next floor, and everybody's going to slip and fall on it. So I think we just fix that one area and keep that water from rolling down there and ruining the metal and the concrete, we should be good.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully by the first of the year, I'll have enough people in there. I talked to a contractor, someone that knows a little more about it. The problem with it is under them. Under them shower pans is conduit, electrical conduit stuff, right in the concrete. I mean, so they poured the floor with the electrical conduit in it, and it's shallow. It's not that deep in that concrete. So that's going to pose a problem, too. We'll have to let them look at it. We'll get it fixed. Shouldn't be crazy. Maybe we'll do one every couple, two a month or something like that, till we get them all done. It's just the upper tiers and all the pods.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good, Chris.
All right.
Any more questions for Chris? I think you're right, Chris. Thank you for the report. Nice report. Thank you. Correction committee reports. I don't think it's any that I know. Mail and emergency business. I don't think it's any there. Any public comments about the Board of Corrections? Anybody from the public had any comments on? Okay. With that, the meeting adjourned. 307. We wanted to call this Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting in order. 307. So, call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Bill Rohde from the meetings today.
I'll second that.
Motion to excuse Commissioner Rudy for the commissioner meeting today. Let's go. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, November 23rd, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payroll claims is applicable. Authorized chair to sign certification of the county highway superintendent for the determining initiative payment of January 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2015. So we motion to accept the consent agenda item.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Busquet moved to accept the consent agenda item. Second by McNear. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried. New business. ECVs.com and line grant presentation for Robert Jones. Jones, what information do you got for us here? Everybody got a package up for the program here.
If you have an X down here, what does it on the other X? Maybe? to your right a little bit, Joan. We cannot get on the internet, but they all have your handout if you want to walk through that with them, or do you want us to try a different meeting?
I don't know why it's not working, but that's what happens, I guess, sometimes. Let me go back there. So the handout you have, it's the proposal, correct? It kind of has the name of the...
Yeah, that's the proposal.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. Well, good morning, Gary. Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody. How is everyone doing today?
Doing okay.
Okay, let me go over this with you. So I'll give you just a quick rundown of who we are and what we do, and then, yes, we can go over that that proposal that you have in front of you. It should be about 6 or 7 pages long, but... So, yeah, I mean, eService, we, and if you have any questions, let me know. And real quick, who's in the room with us today?
Dakota County Board of Commissioners.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, so eService. So we've been around about 15 years, and we are the premier provider of online, basically just grant information, tracking, reporting. We have federal grants, foundation grants in our system, and we have basically 3 major components. One of them is the research to help you go find grants on any topic that you're looking for. There's a system that you can go into. It's basically a Google type of technology that you can actually just log in and start typing in and looking for grants for any project you have in mind. We also have a tracking reporting tool that keeps track of everything. When you're dealing in grants, you have to keep track of all the dollars that have spent, where they've gone, things like that. So that allows you also to kind of, you know, instead of using Excel spreadsheets and binders and folders, you can keep everything in one central location. And you can also log in and you can see exactly what every department is doing, different phases of projects, different phases of the grants. So it's a great way to, you know, have everybody involved and have everyone who is involved in the grant process for the county. Anybody can be, you know, can log in and kind of see where everything is at. We are built for local governments. Douglas County, Thayer County, Frontier County are a couple, are 3 counties that use us. And we also have a nonprofit called the Malcolm X Memorial Foundation. And I believe that's just in Omaha. I apologize. So, why would you want to use us here at Dakota County? Well, we're proven. We have about 1,800 customers across the country and growing. Our system is very easy to use. It's a web-based platform. So all you need to do is use a username and a password, and you can log in from anywhere, whether you're at home, at work, or traveling. And all you need, again, is a username and a password. Our system is very affordable. There is no implementation. There's no hardware cost. And we do have flexible pricing to fit any budget. And, again, we're a complete system from pre-award to post-award. Any questions at all so far?
How many counties in the state of Nebraska participate in this program?
Right now we have 3. Douglas County, Thayer County, and Frontier County.
Can you tell me how many grants that Douglas County or Thayer County have gotten since they've signed on with you?
I don't have the exact information in front of me, but I can find out. Typically what happens is when they sign, that's their information. And we do go ask for follow up and say, hey, how things are going. But if they don't, we don't proactively go after it, they have to come actually and tell us. But I can find out that information.
Okay. The reason I ask that is because in the past, we've had a person working for us that was supposed to go out and find grants and things like that, and there was just barely anything out there that a county could tap into as far as grants.
Right, and that's the thing, too, is that, we're giving you the tools to do this, yourself. Yes, we help you. If you have questions or something, you ever have a question, you can always call us here at eCivis. So our job is to show you, all right, here's the database, here's how you use it, and then you are the ones that are going out and finding it yourselves instead of, trusting someone else to do it for you.
I see.
So that is a great question. Tell me a little bit, what are some of your challenges when it comes to grants? Is it just locating them and trying to find them?
Locating grants and finding grants that are applicable for a county. The cities that are within the county have a better chance of getting grants than the county itself.
Yep, I agree with you there. That's why, anything that you can do to portray your when you're writing grants, if there's any kind of information that you feel is pertinent, you definitely want to make sure that when you're writing the grant, you use a couple. I like to use a terminology called gloom, doom, drama, and trauma. Why would getting this grant money benefit you, more than your neighboring county? So when you are writing the grant, it is very important to make sure that you have all that information in there. I was going to actually, I've talked to quite a few counties. I've talked to, different counties across the country. And bottom line is, it is challenging. But obviously the more grants you get in front of, the better the odds are you're going to have at winning them.
Besides the 3 counties that you say participate in the state of Nebraska, did you approach the other counties to try to convince them and trying to participate in this program? And what's the results from the other counties, if you haven't?
Well, I'm working with, I actually just went through my list here not too long ago. Cumming County, there's a list of quite a few opportunities that I'm trying to go after. Their main thing that I'm coming up against is that it's a time factor. They don't have the time to really be able to, to use the system. I come across that a lot, is that this isn't as much as that, this system won't work for us. But bottom line is, it comes up to where, there's just, they don't have enough time to go after it, to use it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've talked to Jefferson County, Scottsbluff County, I'm trying to think of them all here. I said, well, you guys are in Dakota, obviously. I've talked to Saline, Colfax, Cumming County, Hamilton. But again, a lot of these are, you know, again, just the time factors. And also, you know, Jefferson County, I think I was talking to the sheriff recently. So
Robert, for $2,050, we can get your e-civis, and it'll give us the tools we need to locate grants, is what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What are you guys? Any questions?
Well, these three counties, Robert, my name is Scott Love. The three counties that you have in Nebraska, are they repeat clients for you? Or, I mean, are they just recent? I mean, I know the criteria for every county is different when it comes to, I'm sure, for receiving, trying to find grant monies. And like Rick said to you, you know, we had a grant writer that was out trying to receive and find grants for us, and it just seemed to be very unsuccessful. And by talking like to the city of South Sioux City, which is the biggest city here that's in Dakota County, you know, they have their own grant writer there, and they think that, you know, there's different ways that we can come up with grants, but when it comes right down to it, you know, we don't qualify. You know, just like what Rick said, you know, it's just, we're just a little bit of a different animal to be able to get monies for grants. And did the guy that worked for us prior, did he, you know, give 110%? I can't answer that. But I know we did, I think we spent like $500 or $600 to, Joan, can you help me out? Who is that? To the federal out in Washington, where they give you a booklet for all the grants. Do we spend $500 or $600 a couple years ago to do that? Do you remember what I'm talking about or not? Wasn't it like some federal grant book that we...
That grant workshop?
It was something that give us a website we could go on to and see to find more grants, I thought.
And that website would be on his website. What I have up right now, Robert, is that grants research and management system, your PowerPoint, basically.
Right.
There are four components to e-civis: grants management, grant research, grant knowledgeable base, tracking and reporting, grant professional services.
I guess for me, I'd like to know these other three counties that you've got signed up, what their success rate was with using this system, and if it's paid off, and if, you know, that's what it, I'd need to see.
No, so to go back to your question, Douglas County's been with us since 2010, and they haven't used it much here recently, but the notes I'm looking at says that they're a good customer. They just haven't had a lot of time. He said they had a little bit of a trouble with the webinar, but it went well, and they were basically able to get all their tracking or their training done. The other two, Fayette County signed up in February of this year, and let me see how they're doing. Yeah, he's used it. His name is Jeremy over there. I can get his name. Where are you at here? Jeremy Voss. He's the Economic Development Director.
And he's with their county?
I'm sorry, the last question?
Yes.
He's with Thayer County?
Yeah, Thayer County, correct.
Okay.
And then the last one is Frontier County. I signed him up at the beginning of this year also. Patrick, his name is Patrick Gerdes. He's the, I want to say, the EMS director. And he was supposed to bring on his other counties because he's the EMS director for five counties. It's Phelps, Gosper, Frontier, Hitchcock, and Dundee. And I have not had a chance to talk to him yet, but him and Darla are the ones using it over there. And They were looking at a couple grants earlier in the year for facility lighting, but then I haven't seen anything since, and that was in September. So I'll be honest, you know, this system, it does work. I mean, as long as you have someone in there searching, looking for grants, you know, it does work. Now, we do also give you the ability to audit yourselves, you know, so that if, you know, you can come back and go, hey, were they given 110%? You know, you can go in there and you actually have the ability to see, you know, who logged on, who did searching. So that's why there are some checks and balances, you know, with our system, to where that if you needed to have those questions answered, you know, you could always go in and find those answers on who's working it and who's not working the system. What is your process now when it comes to grants? Do you guys have like a formalized process, or are there any projects in mind?
We've got grants with our health department and some other areas like in the law enforcement, but those are grants that they just pop up like once a year or whatever, and we submit and things like that, but that's about it.
Okay.
Tiffany, do you
Well, I'll be honest. You know, if you're,
I guess
the same thing, and not you particularly, but in general, if you're doing the same thing and hoping to get different results, you know, that's the definition of insanity, as they say. So, our system is different. It does allow you to go in and look for grants that, you know, what you're looking for on any topic. Are we guaranteed to work? Absolutely not. You know, but if you're going to put in, you know, if you're using the system and you're looking for grants, odds are you are going to come across grants that you do qualify for. Smaller counties like yours, you know, you do qualify for grants that maybe other larger counties don't. And it just might be a matter of, hey, where do we go? Where do we find them? You know, and if you've talked to anybody in your county who's tried to, you know, find grants, you know how hard it is. It's not easy. They're not just out there on the web for anyone to go find. You have to go find them. You have to dig a little bit. And that's what our system allows you to do. It allows you to get in there and really get, you know, have a chance to find grants that fit what you're looking for.
Have any more questions for Robert? You, Dick?
No.
Jones? No. Robert, I think the information was very, very vital to us. Let us talk among ourselves, you know, and we get back to you on some one way or the other.
Okay, and I really appreciate you jumping on here. One last thing, too. That price includes all of your training, all your setup. I know I did show, you know, the system a little bit to...
John?
What's that?
John, or secretary, or the
There was another county. Well, bottom line is we include all your training, all your implementation, so all the setup, all that is included in the base price. So there's no extra fees on top of that. Yeah, I was just trying to think of another county that I showed it to that. But that's I'm thinking it was Kansas and not Nebraska. I apologize. But yeah, I did show everything to Joan and yeah, I mean, if you have any questions, I mean, she actually saw what it looked like, and some of those pictures there on the snapshot on that proposal are exactly what you would see on E7.
And the price is $2,050 a year, right?
Yes, sir, correct.
Okay. Well, we keep you informed. We let you know. We keep
okay.
in touch.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, thanks, Robert. Have a good one.
You too. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks.
When John sent me the email and I reviewed myself and I visited with John, and I decided myself to put this item on the agenda because I do believe there is grants out there, and I know how hard it is for the county to get grants. You know that the city is much easier for some reason. I know why, but number one, they got the personnel to 100% looking for grants and writing grants, and so. But I don't know what the board wants to do. I mean, I just thought that it was worth it to look into it. Just, you know, it's not commitment. I mean, There's grants out there, but it's...
I don't want to say that I'm ruined from our last word deal. I'm not saying that, but it just seems like I'm not real positive about it.
Grants, you mean?
Yes. And I'm sure, and without a doubt, I'm sure there's some out there, without a doubt.
I'm kind of with Scott, too. You know, we spent some money trying to have a grant writer, and I'm with Scott. You know, I'm not saying, there just isn't a lot out there for counties to tap into.
And would you have to designate a certain person to research and maybe, you know, come to the board and have a person tell us what, you know, what they're out looking for, what's going on? I mean, $2,000 is a lot of money. No, not really. You know, I mean, hell, we were paying $2,000 a month for a grant writer before. You know, we could have this for 12 months to try it and have a person, you know, research it, you know.
I think we need to get a hold of some of them other counties, Scott.
Yeah.
The ones, you know, that have been on it for a couple. The one that's been on it since 2010.
Douglas. Is that Fremont or Omaha? I get them mixed around. Dodge and Douglas.
Douglas is Omaha.
Omaha.
Yeah, and see what they've got.
I think it's a good idea. Just connect with the other two counties.
Tiffany did a little bit of research too. She asked Tammy Bailey what websites they're connected to, and it was...
Yeah, so Tammy said that the city was pursued a little bit by eCivis, but they decided to go with a website called Amplifund, and she said that the reason they went with that, it was because Amplifund apparently has more federal grant, has worked more with federal granting agencies, which is what the city usually is looking for, is federal grants. And it also was able to be customized to work with the new Omni Circular, which is some IRS, some form that is apparently really important for federal grantees. And so that's why she said that they decided to go with this Amplifund site. So there are other sites out there maybe that would be worth pursuing as well or looking into that might be more beneficial.
But it does take manpower, and mm-hmm. it does take a person dedicated
to
and looking.
I can see that.
And Tiffany has had a lot of grant opportunities.
Yeah. No, it's definitely one of those things that it takes a person or a team or different people doing it that are constantly looking and scouring for things. I talked with Tammy a little bit on just kind of getting on all those blasts on grants, and that's a lot of, like, where I find my stuff is I'm on, like, every state grant thing that I can find, and everybody is sending me email after email, and you kind of have to sift through things to find what you're looking for. And so a lot of it is just kind of sifting through the pile and looking for a needle in the haystack, so to speak.
Let me ask you a question. So if we contact this county in Omaha and we decided to go for, how much time do you think are you interested on it, or do you have time for?
Well, I already have a lot of obligations with the health department
right
now.
That's why I'm asking you.
It would kind of depend on what they, Douglas County maybe said, is if it was something that they utilized well and it was effective and they had a really easy time looking through the search engine. Because a lot of it, like this individual, or the Robert indicated, is it takes a lot of time to look through those things. And so it would probably depend on how successful maybe some of these other counties have been with finding stuff and how easy the process was, and then easy the system is to navigate.
And obviously trying to compare to Omaha, you know, I'm like I said, the criteria has to be phenomenally mm-hmm. different, mm-hmm. you know, from what...
The size of the county.
I mean, just, yeah.
Well, it got me, Scott asked him a question, or Rick asked him. If he knew he was going to be on today, he should have had some kind of an idea how many grants that they got down there. But he didn't even ask us. He didn't tell us exactly.
He probably don't have the information right out there with this there, you know.
Maybe what we could do is... It's kind of like what Tiffany's saying is, you know, figure out who, you know, sells who's with, and maybe kind of, you know, it's something to look into. Like I said, I don't think it's a waste of money. Like I said, we spent a lot more money with, you know, our grant writer prior to that, and really I don't think we got really much of anything out of the deal. So, the key is
absolutely nothing.
Right. Just besides, you know, trying to brush up on the existing grants is basically what it all boiled down to. We're gonna have, like Tiffany said, you're gonna have to find a team or a person, an individual to try to monitor and track it and follow it and report to somebody, to the board, or I don't know. You know
what I mean? Why don't we just contact with this county and find, you know, the most information we can, and yes, and go from there, you know, and then, when then we decide it in the future, see if we want it or not, or how we
bring it back to the next meeting for discussion.
Yeah, let's keep it fresh. Otherwise, if we forget about it, guess what? A year will go by. And
Okay, let's do that. Let's get some information. And
you know, Tony, the older you get, the faster time goes. I don't know if you realize that or not, but
I do. I do.
Okay.
Well, with that, we move into the next. Any more questions about that?
Uh-uh.
Okay. We're going to move on to item C. Item B. On their new business, Jeff Curry, assessors, present the board an overview of the exempt properties loss corrections. Jeff.
Thank you, John.
Tell me what the problem is.
Yeah, what we did is we had to make a clerical change to coding on some of our exemptions. We went through and picked up all of our permissive exempts and actually put values on them. It's one of the statutes the state's trying to put through, so we're trying to get ahead of the curve. And when we went through and built our working files, we forgot to go back and set them with a 9,000, so they just went and used a standard exemption code. And unfortunately, in TerraScan, codes 1 through 999 means homestead. So it went through and picked up every permissive exemption and treated it like a homestead exemption. The problem that creates is homestead exemption, even though it's exempt to all the taxpayers aren't impacted, the state writes us a check back for that. So they still list it as a value so they can calculate how much they have to give to the state. I think they give us 6 separate checks. I think it starts in January through June. So when we certified our tax roll, it certified those permissive exempts as homesteads.
So they wanted to know why there were so many.
Yeah, so needless to say, the Department of Revenue called. They were concerned about the check they had to write. It was about $11 million. So we did go back, and we had to change them. So the problem it creates is this late in the year, when after you've certified, we need to have some kind of communication back to the political subdivision saying, this is where your number is. Some of them actually, I mean, it's, you know, they're going to get $5 million and it's a $20,000 difference. So they probably won't see it, but it's something I thought maybe we should send a letter or something out to each political subdivision to let them know, this is what we certified to you, but this much of it was actually homestead exempt. No, it was treated as homestead, but it's actually permissive. So, I don't know if you guys got, so you can actually see the numbers. Like, for example, the county. Kind of general.
We have a lot of numbers looking, so I don't know which one.
Yeah, there's one little spreadsheet on there. It should say at the top, it'll say CTL1 and CTL2 compare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on that, it looks like, so the county had, looks like $5,607,594 that they were looking at, that they would have gotten, or that were supposed to get if the exemptions were coded properly. The difference is actually $25,000, which is the amount extra the state would have had to pay the county that they didn't owe us. So the county, and on Joan's number, she might be closer to $5,633,000. So there is a difference there. But we're one of the biggest ones as a county. We all political subdivisions we collect against. The rest of them are like Homer, just collects against Homer. So their number, if you look down, is going to be smaller. Some of 8,000 or 9,000. Some are 4,000. The biggest one is going to be, I got to find it, there should be a school district on there. But they collect the largest amount. They're just under 10 or 9 point some million dollars. So they're going to be at 75,000. So that 75,000 that they could have budgeted against, which I think by statute they're not supposed to, because they really don't know what their homestead law is. We don't ever report that or give it to anybody. They just think it's tax dollars they're collecting because the state pays us and then they get paid back. is how it works. So there could be an impact. So what I was proposing is I would just document a letter, give each of the political subdivisions their numbers, and just give them, here's your updated number. We certified, I think it's August 20th originally, when we gave it to them, their first, but that number always changes. You have, like this year, we had, I don't know, was it $3 or $4 million in tax roll corrections because of the Section 42 housing. So these numbers always change. This one, we just have an exemption change that would make it look different on it.
So are you comfortable with all this? I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. We just got done. I was actually just rebalancing again. But, yeah, we've balanced right down actually to the penny on this. So
you just need to write a letter and send it out?
Yeah, just send it out to each. I think it's fair. There isn't a statute or there really isn't any legal, I don't know unless Kim could think of something, reasoning that we should, because what we certify to them or what Joan gets in August that she starts doing our budget with actually isn't going to be the number you end up with at the end of the year. There, like I said, there's several things that omitted properties, tax roll corrections, Board of Equals, all those things happen and can change after that. But because this one's unique, I thought maybe we would just let them know in case, because I know, especially like with the city of South Sioux City, I think they're actually getting audited today because Nancy has already called me. Mm. It'd be nice if I gave them a letter in case they get audited and a couple years down the road when they try to balance to what this is, that they'll have a document, I guess, is what I'm more worried about.
So you okay with the correction? I mean,
yeah, we're done. Yeah, I worked it out with the state, Elaine Thompson, and MIPS and Terrascan, because we had to roll stuff back over to the treasurer, too. But, yeah, we balanced with MIPS, balanced with Terrascan, and then Elaine Thompson at the state, who balances our CTL, and she went back through everything, and she rebalanced us. And so
are you saying that certification that you gave me in August 20th, had value, the total value had churches in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That weren't supposed to be there.
They're not supposed to. They're all, they're always going to be
exempt.
The value
was a little high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it would have looked, it would have been treated like a homestead, so they keep that homestead value as an outlier. So they can that's how we can actually report to the state and tell them how much they owe us back and what we lose on homestead.
So you've got that corrected, so it won't happen.
Oh, yeah, it's all fixed. Yeah.
So you got a game plan.
But it sounded good, and I just wanted to, I kind of went through the statutes, and I was going to talk to Kim and just make sure that we're not doing anything. If I send them a letter, if I'm not doing anything, I shouldn't be doing, I guess. But I couldn't find anything, so.
Okay.
And the state didn't seem to, because I kind of discussed it with them, what they thought, you know, I should do in a case like this. And
I'm pretty sure if you did the things they don't accept it, we probably know later.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. The first thing we had to change is the homestead report. They were definitely a little worried about writing us a bigger check.
No, that's okay. So.
But the state's taken care of now, and the CAMA system's taken care of. Everything's been recertified. So everything looks right. I'm just thinking an audit trail on the back end down the road for our political subdivisions. It might be good if they had a document from my office.
Okay. Well, thank you for the correction.
All righty. Yep. If you guys have any questions or if anybody asks you about it, just have them, you guys can call me or stop by.
That was good. Thanks, Jeff.
Right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Okay, on the new business, item C, discuss and approve offering the free flu shots to county employees through the Dakota County Health Department. Tiffany, what can you tell us about that?
Okay, so a little bit of background first. We order about 200 flu shots every single year, and I budget for it, budget gets approved. It's about $4,000 annually. And in reimbursements, we get back probably about $3,500. And so this year, we have still 80 shots left over right now that we're still waiting. Obviously, the flu season is still ongoing until March, and those shots don't expire until June, so we actually still administer them through June 1st. But if they still remain in our possession until expiration date. Then I send them back to the manufacturer, and they send us, we only get $5 reimbursement for them, for each dose. And so we still lose a bit of money on it versus how much we get back reimbursement, depending on how the flu season goes throughout the year. So Dick, and I know Rick has mentioned lots of times to me, if we have these kind of excess doses, since we're already paying for them, why aren't we offering them to county employees? And other people have approached me about it as well. And so one of the reasons for me coming today is just to explain that we kind of have these overages every year. I know last year we had about 50 doses left over that I sent back, and we got credited for. So if we're already kind of paying for them, maybe we could extend the offer to county employees and offer them for free and maybe save us a few sick days.
Sick days. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I think it's a good idea because, you know, we have an employee sick around the first year. And another thing with those flu shots, you can't, to get immunity from them, you have to, it's the 30 days, basically, right, before you get the full immunity.
Full reaction, you mean? The full effect.
So if they don't get them between now and, well, 1st of February, flu season's getting down towards the tail end, and it ain't going to do them any good anyway after that.
Most everybody gets it October, November. Yeah. I mean, anyways, I mean, I would think. But
so what?
I don't know. I brought this up with Pam when Pam was the director back in the day. I don't remember what happened.
Just never got anything happened.
Yeah, well, Rick brought it up. We was talking about it. And I just talked to her the other day, and I said, put it on the agenda, and I called Tony.
Didn't we, like, do kind of a...
It was $20.
Right, but didn't we do,
what
like...
What are you charging them?
Right now we charge $25 for low dose and $35 for high dose. And so high dose is 65 and older.
Oh.
So I think if, you know, like Rick says, you know, if they're going to throw those the 80 shots away and they got $5 back, you know, why don't we just give them to the employees?
Bless you. And we. I thought Joel sent an email out way back when I brought this up.
Well, last year we inquired about it a little bit, but I think it was kind of a reduced price that we were going to... Wasn't that the inquiry? I think it was maybe we were going to give it to for a reduced price.
This is like a long time. This has been when everything was downstairs and Pam was here, and I think there's only like maybe 10 or 15 people that got the shot, and we just kind of overlooked it. It gets the flu shot out of all the county employees. Did that make sense?
I think they were still paying for it.
Yeah, a little bit of it.
Yeah, I bet they were paying.
It was not free.
Yeah, and that's why that we didn't get a...
They did pay for it.
Yeah.
It was $20 back then.
So the question is, if the board wants to approve to have those free chats, or what the board wants to do, we need to make up.
Well, the road department, they already get a flu shot every year. I think that's all paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they do, and the DHHS office and state probation.
And it could reduce sick days. So.
Oh, definitely. What do you guys want? What do you guys want to do?
Are you guys a flu shot believer? Do you get yours?
I already went to the doctor.
I mean, but you get it every year.
I believe it.
That's why
I do too. I think it's a good deal.
Well, I'll make a motion that we offer.
Do you get the extra dose?
Yeah. As long as we've got the doses, and Tiffany's going to return them.
Dick, it wouldn't be right if I didn't. It wouldn't be right if I didn't.
Too. Well, we're not. Once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
Right.
First come, first serve.
Yep. Okay,
yeah,
Rick, make a motion.
You don't have to order anymore.
Commissioner Rick Busquet make a motion to approve the free chat for the county employees, and Mr. Rainier approved the motion. So, call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you. Miscellaneous agenda. Where's Fred?
Oh, where'd Fred go to?
Fred had to go upstairs and testify.
Oh. Okay. So, Scott.
Pat?
Well, I might want to wait for Fred.
Okay.
What I'm here about, my name is Pat Dorsey. I'm from Hubbard. What I'm here about is the Martinique Bridge.
Okay.
The ball's been dropped out there.
I think weather got us.
Well, we had 3 weeks before the weather got us. And the reason I know that,
you lived
when I got done harvesting.
You're there. You see it every day.
Fred sees it every day right out the superintendent window. One dump truck and a payloader could move no more dirt we got to move out there. We don't need specialized equipment, anything more than the county already has. We need somebody to get in the seat
and get it done.
And I drove over there today at 11 o'clock. There should have been someone over there today, maybe back dragging the road a little bit. It had dried up. We could be moving dirt tomorrow. And I don't know who's, is the county responsible for the dirt? I've stopped a couple of times at the building, and this has been, I believe that deck was poured about the 20th of October. And I know there's curing time in that, but that doesn't mean there couldn't have been dirt hauled up to the edge of it and be getting prepared.
Okay, Pat, do you know where the dirt's coming from for both sites?
I understand one side is coming from the Spencer Farm. Now, that's rumors I've heard. I don't know
it
about
is.
Both sides.
They've already been out there and moved the topsoil off, and we're ready to go.
The other side is coming from, I do believe, Andy Lux. Price, give us a price, and I wish Fred was here. I think it was like $100 a load, side dump load coming from the, is it UTEP?
UTEC.
Yep, up there, right along the county shed up along there.
I'll tell you what, there's no reason why that dirt can't be getting hauled today. And if that contractor's too busy to be doing it, there's a lot of side dumps in Dakota County or the area.
I wish Fred was here to kind of shed a little light on it.
This is a bad deal. I see where we made payments on the bridge. The bridge sitting there high and dry, that was our, you know, you kind of get worried in the fall. Hey, well, to get the bridge done. Hell, the bridge's been done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dirt, my God, anybody can move some dirt, you know.
Right, I think after the last snow, I think, because Fred, there's probably, I'm going to say 10 to 14 days ago, we talked about, you know, the Lux, you know, he said that UTEP people that will deal with Luxes only, or whatever the case may be. So I said, well, let's get it going. For $100 a load, that makes sense. Let's just get her done. The one side's coming from, you know, from the Spencer Farm. So, like Fred said, as it dries up a little bit, they should be able to start moving the dirt in there.
Well, there's no reason somebody shouldn't be hauling dirt today. And if any one of you folks lived on the other side of that bridge, I guarantee you that dirt would have been moved before now. And this falls back on our road superintendent. And, you know, I'm usually pretty patient and understanding. I know county roads are county roads, but this is something that the ball's been dropped on. This has been going on too long. There's about probably 15 or 16 different households on that side of the bridge that would use that bridge every day.
Oh, yeah, it's an inconvenience.
And probably with two vehicles out of a household, not just one. You know, if you were running that extra 5 or whatever miles of...
Well, the mailman called me. He was all upset. Because I guess he has to go clear down to I Avenue and then...
Yeah, everybody does.
It is. It's an inconvenience for everyone.
Yeah, it is.
But I know that November weather hasn't been best here the last 2 to 3 weeks. By God, we did have some time before that. We had
on the Kennesaw Bridge.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, Joe, because the Kennesaw, up there on Kennesaw Avenue, we spent probably a week or better, pretty much our whole road department, taking out a bridge and putting culverts in up there. It was a pretty big job. And what happened is we put it out for bid, and the bids were so far in between with the engineers, we just decided to do it ourselves. And we took that, and it was a great week. And we probably have dropped the ball somewhere along the line, but we'll make sure that we get with Fred. And
why don't we just do this, Scott? Can you follow up with Fred after the meeting and see what you can do and take care of that situation?
I think you need to get a hold of your contractor and get you know, they've got side dumps running today, and my God, that north side is just off of the highway. That's gravel from Highway 35 to gravel to the bridge site. Hell, there's no problem there getting in with the truck and push it up to the bridge with a cat or a payloader or something. That's simple.
Right, right.
And I know the Spencer side,
geez, if somebody just paid a little bit of attention, if they'd have been there today and backdrugged a little bit, you know how you, you've got to dry out some muddy driveways, and Dick, and I'm sure Scott, everybody has. When it gets into the, around the 1st of November, or gets into late October, in this part of the country, you kind of better be on your toes, or you could get caught till April or May the following year. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, we're fortunate this year.
Yeah. And November wasn't a good, I agree, November wasn't a good month, but that's why you kind of stay on top of things.
We'll get after it.
Yeah, it needs some attention, not just... I've been coming down for the last 2 weeks, and it just hasn't worked out at the right time, but I was going to make it this week. I'm afraid to go on all winter. And I've got 2 grandkids living on the other side of that bridge, and I got to go clear around to get to see them.
It's a beautiful drive, though, isn't it?
Well,
not really.
Third or fourth time, I've seen it all.
Thank you, Beth.
I mean, I'll tell you what, don't just let it go. There's too much. This gets let go out there.
You will see some action.
No.
Yeah.
That's done.
You will see some
action. And if not, we need to get another contract to get some dirt there while the weather is good. It's supposed to be good this week. Yeah, we don't want to run into
another chance of rain tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we're
like I say, the north side, that's gravel. From Highway 35, it's gravel up to
the edge of
the bridge.
I've been out there.
Is there a lot of dirt out there, Scott?
Not so terrible much. I mean, I know the south side. Right, so you could haul it with a, we need this, I think a year ago we needed a bigger excavator. I don't know why, they had a smaller one, but we need a bigger one. And we got a big payloader, and we've got a dump truck. That's what we got this stuff for. And we got the personnel.
Sure. Well, like you said, we get it done.
So
yeah, we
get it.
Thank you,
Beth.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you. That's a great concern.
Thanks.
So what we going to do with the press report?
Well,
he handed it out.
I got it. That's what I'm
saying.
We got it right here. I got it.
We just need to look at it, and if anybody has any questions or any concerns, if there's anything that looks out of sight.
You know, we were. Enough said.
Okay, so
I'll say we'll let Fred do both road reports the next meeting.
Okay, let's do that. Let's have Fred do the both reports in the next meeting.
I do want to report. Is he on his way down? I do want to report that we met with the Burlington Railroad, and we took him and showed him a couple of options out there at the Millis Beach area, and he's going to let us know within the next 30 to 60 days if he can put a crossing and or lease the north side of the railroad track so that we can have an alternate route for emergencies. Fred and I, when we met with him after the meeting was over, he's going to give it his best shot, but I didn't feel that it was extremely promising, but we'll have to see what happens.
Well, at least.
But we finally got to where we met with somebody, and the guy was from down in Kansas.
Yeah.
He drove up there. So.
I told them they're going to haul you out there. You've probably been behind buyer by now. So give us your report.
Sounds good. Any questions?
Well, any questions?
Pat Dorsey was here, and he was really upset over the Martinet Bridge not getting done.
Okay. And the reason it isn't done is the weather just did not cooperate. We could not actually put dirt up against anything or do any work around it because of the concrete till it settles and we get the 40,000 pound break or whatever they called it. The contractor and the engineer did not want bunch of earth moving going on around and
I wish Fred was here, because he was saying October 20th it was in his board.
Yeah. And by the time we got our go ahead, we got the wet weather. We were just starting lining up the dirt to be hauled when the wet weather set in, and the rest is history.
Are we going to get it? Do you think we'll get a chance now?
Yes. We got a week of dry weather here. We're gearing up to do it by the end of the week.
Okay.
And hopefully, if nothing else, we'll try and at least get an approach up to the bridge for local traffic.
Good.
At least get it open that far. Yeah. Hopefully, we get it all done.
That's what you need to do, because he was really disappointed. And, yeah, and if you chose some kind of a...
And I was going to call Pat, because we're going to use part of his field.
Why don't you give him a call?
Yeah, I will. Okay. I'll call him in the morning.
Yeah.
And tell him what our plans are. Yeah. And I had other residents, other people concerned about it. And like I say, it did sit empty for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, but that is the reason why.
And I'm sure people get chomped at the bit when they see a bridge that's done, but they don't have no approach on it. So
correct.
I can see that.
That's correct.
I can see that being an issue.
You know, and a person's got to be thankful that we got rid of that old Martinet bridge, because now they're going to be able to get heavier equipment across it.
Sure. Yeah.
Wider, heavier.
Wider,
equipment.
Yes. Yeah. It was
much safer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll make that intersection for two lanes, two people to actually meet, where before it was pretty well bottlenecked all the way around the corner and through the bridge, of course.
Yeah. Fred and I, like I said, we met with this Bentley Tomlin from Burlington, and we went out and we checked out two crossings that have both bridges. There's two bridges there. Each bridge takes care of one bridge takes care of one resident. That's all it services. And the other bridge, there's two houses there. Well, we can possibly get rid of both of these bridges, but we have to have easement on the railroad right away to put roads in. And we went across those bridges. I was kind of concerned, even with my little pickup. They are marginal.
Yeah.
I mean, the one...
Critical.
You wouldn't want to take a big truck across it, no. I mean, a good, heavy pickup load of wood or dirt, I would be leery.
And they're on our fractured critical list also.
Scour and fracture.
Yeah.
Those two. Okay.
It'd be a blessing if we could get that pulled off.
Yeah. But then, I mean, it's like, what, from the bottom of the bridge to the bottom of the creek, 75 feet?
Yeah.
Well, that's it'd be a ride.
It's a good ride. Any more questions for Fred?
One thing, Fred, I want to find out. On Harold Moses Bridge, what do we have to do there?
We got the report back finally from the engineer, sent it into the state of Nebraska, and now we're waiting for them to reply to actually... They're the ones that actually give us the okay to open it, and have not heard back.
God, because we did that bridge when?
Well, it's been a year and a half.
Yeah.
But the engineers was the biggest holdup there. Manelli Wagner was not being too cooperative.
Well, Harold jumped me again the other day, and he said, you know, we'll screw around. And I said, well... I said, all I know, I'll bring it up to Fred and see what's going on.
But that is, we sent all of our documentation from the engineer into the state of Nebraska and have not heard anything back.
Okay. Any more for Fred? Any questions, Fred? Thank you, Fred.
Yes.
Good job. I think we... Any commissioner committee reports?
We had a health meeting today.
Uh-huh.
Joan helped me on that. There wasn't nothing came up about it. Some safety glasses. But anyway, they're going to have another, what is it, Joan?
Active shooter training.
Oh, the active shooter
training. We had one, and they would like to have another one for those that didn't get to attend the first one. So.
And they said they wanted it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
But they didn't set aside a day yet.
No, we got to work it out with the courts.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's funny. At the school system, they have these same programs, and they have them, you know, stay in the room, get under your desk, whatever. And the teachers will tell the kids, run, take off your vehicle, leave the building, just take off running. But the administration will tell them something differently. And my son told me, he said, somebody comes in there shooting, I'm gone, I'm running. I'll take my chances, he says, instead of being in a room, walking around. That's what they tell them.
If you talk to guys that are in the service, it's better to run than to sit. Because it's hard to hit a moving target. Yeah.
But when that happens, I'd like to be involved in that. I think it'd be kind of neat just to listen to Ed Mahon.
So what are your thoughts on letting
employees, like some of the other counties in the United States, carry...
Carry what?
Carry guns.
Carry
concealed?
You
can't carry concealed as a partner.
Sheriff said you could.
Well...
There's no signs, right? Is there any signs anywhere?
There's just the... When you do the concealed carry class, courthouse is one of the places you can.
Really? I've just figured that maybe they had to have a sign, like, you know, the businesses in Omaha where they
have
a gun.
Anyone can ban it, but courthouse, schools, we can.
Is that right?
I'm an arm.
Judge Redmond always had one behind the bench up there.
Carry concealed?
He had a gun up there behind his bench.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Judge Redmond.
Oh.
But...
That was back then.
That was back in the day.
Oh. Any more committee reports?
And have you heard about Maury Redmond?
Here.
He's in at the nursing home at Regency. My father-in-law's in there, so I go in there. What a sad deal. He don't know himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might know who I am because I'll meet him in the hallway or I go out and try to visit with him and he kind of looks at you. Mumbles, but a guy that was that smart, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, it's sad.
Wow. I don't know if you guys knew Brett Longwell from Homer, played football for Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
He's, but they give him like at least 3 weeks to go. So
cancer?
It's bad.
Cancer? Mm.
Cancer. He's full of it.
Mm.
And he was one of the linemen for Nebraska.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Committee reports? Any more? Rick, so you have one donation?
No, my father-in-law is in very good shape, and we got relatives coming in to see him starting tonight. And my wife's kind of frazzled, so I figure if I took off and got too far away, she'd probably, sure. You know, something would happen, and then I'd be down there. And
no, it's understandable.
Yeah.
Does
yeah.
anybody... the rest of you guys wants to go? Why don't you post that?
I was looking forward to going, but
I'm busy. It's my birthday Wednesday. I'm going down to Lincoln with my son. He's taking me out on the town. I'm excited about it.
Oh boy.
I'm
going to
have a college night.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I wish, but anyways, no, I'm going to be on Lincoln.
No, I'm going to be gone.
Sounded good, though, didn't it? Sounded real good.
Fred's going.
I love that.
I love that.
I'm out of here.
Let's keep moving. So no more committee report. Mail and emergency business. I don't think there's any.
No.
Public comments.
No.
We lost the public.
Well, get up there and say something. And we don't care what it is. Just talk about something.
Thanks.
No.
Anything?
No.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. John, myself. John. Rick. John and myself went to the presentation of the city of South Sioux City for the Flatwater Crossing
Neighborhood Master Plan presentation.
And John took quite a few notes. I mean, what do you find out? Was it interesting, or what you learned from that shared experience with the rest of the
They talked about making it a walkable urban neighborhood. They're opening up the views to the river. They talk low to mid-rise buildings, mixed housing residential lots. They talked about their priority is to get 29th Street done. It's going to be a three-lane with a center turning, and the residents that are going to be there are going to park in the alley back behind. They'll have rear entry. They don't want them on the street. The sanitary sewer they kept talking about, is there a sanitary sewer drainage ditch
mm-hmm.
out there? And they talked about lining it with trees and
covering it up.
It's a runoff ditch.
Yeah.
It's a runoff ditch.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I kind of trying to figure it out.
They made it sound like a
stormwater type drainage ditch.
Trying to make it an amenity out of it.
Yeah. That was very interesting. I mean, I was really impressed. I mean, when it's going to take place. But whenever it is done, you know, it's going to be beautiful. I mean, it's going to be.
And he encouraged South Sioux to make a plan because he did not want a trailer car park locating there, is what he said. You know, he wants to keep it
high end,
you know.
He don't want RV park type deal for campers and stuff.
Right. Well, trailer park.
There's more development for sale there and land for sale there. You know, Lance Morgan had purchased all of it, so then he was worried about other developers coming in there and what quality housing that they would have. And so he wants South Sioux to create a sub-area plan, identify greenways, identify compatible uses, and they're saying if they have that plan in place, then they can control it, not only with zoning, but control it with that plan on what can go in there and what can't.
What was talking about it? They don't want any low-income houses or anything like that, you know, around the area. You know, it's going to be high-profile houses. I mean, in a nice area. They're going to have another little bit of auditorium close to the river, you know. That's going to be with the stage and. I mean, it's going to be nice.
He's got a lot of irons in the fire.
But we will see. Anything else? Okay. So with that, no public comments. Meeting adjourned. The next meeting is the 21st.
No, and I got to tell you, I'm going to be in Phoenix again that weekend. I won't be at the next meeting.
Wow. I'm falling in love with Phoenix, okay? Ho-Chunk has a building over in Sioux City.